Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. The first Friday of every month, Vegan Nation offers a special feature, a two-minute segment of Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. Coming up is Alfie with Vegan Parenting Tip number 5.
My name's Ha'el, and I'm vegan.
My name is Trayu. We're vegan.
Are you vegan?
Mama, it's your turn to talk.
It's my turn to talk.
This is my mom, Alfie.
Know your fats. Healthy fats are crucial in early child development. As vegans, adequate fat isn't automatically built into our diet, so sometimes we have to put it there. I try to be mindful of this when preparing my kids' meals, from sandwiches to multi-course dinners. Staples in our house include ground flaxseed, nut butters, olives and olive oil, coconut oil and coconut milk, sesame oil, avocado, guacamole, and our favorite vegan butter and mayo. I add fat into our low-fat diets at every opportunity. For example, oatmeal, grits, cornbread, pancakes, oh yeah, ground flaxseed is up in there and it's delicious. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip, but remember, there's more beneath the surface.
And we should be nicer to animals.
We have to be nicer to animals.
Because you need to be nice to animals because the animals feel don't want to be killed.
I don't want to be killed. Thank you for listening.
And be vegan.
I think, therefore I am a vegan. World peace begins in the kitchen.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, and I'm very honored and happy that joining us is Scott via Skype in Stuttgart, Germany. Scott is a peace pilgrim. Thank you, Scott, for joining us.
Thank you, Marlene. Nice to be here.
I really like your work, and I am grateful for your selfless service to humanity, and I'm anxious to hear all about your experiences as a peace pilgrim and that relationship to veganism.
Yeah, right on. As a peace pilgrim, as you pointed out, I've pretty much now for 10 years, actually if you count the experiment that preceded the choice to become a peace pilgrim, probably about 12 years, my main mission is to do whatever I can to bring peace, profound peace, actual tangible peace, both inner and outer, to the world. It used to be for humans and humanity, and even though I was a vegetarian for the entire time of my peace pilgrim days, I've only been a vegan for the last 2 years of it, so now I'm trying to bring peace to all sentient life. And yep. So the website, Inspiring the Altruistic Moment, was started around 2009, about 3 years into my peace pilgrim journey, and I constructed it basically to have a platform to share in writing and vision and image this message of radical kindness, of active, tangible compassion for all life.
Scott, I am very impressed with your website. I enjoyed reading through the pages, and there's so much more to read, so I'm looking forward to going back frequently to read it. Your words are very inspirational, and I personally believe that you are up there with all the other great leaders historically and presently in the peace movement and the higher consciousness and awareness. You're amazing, and I watched your interviews as well. You're an inspiration. Thank you. And I read the book The Peace Pilgrim, so I was excited to hear that you were also influenced by the woman named the Peace Pilgrim in the United States.
That's right. Yes, I was. This all kind of started because I just got essentially fed up with life. It was about, 13, 14 years ago, I reached kind of a low point. I'd always been searching for truth. I couldn't seem to find it. I tried all sorts of meditations and religions and read. I was a total self-help junkie. I'm still in recovery. I mean, I bought every book on the shelf and trying to reach enlightenment. And, it's a noble pursuit, but others who might have also engaged it really doesn't lead you very far. You tend to find yourself going through the same habits and the same depressions and the same downs. And so I was pretty frustrated, and I decided to live these truths, to actually test them myself. I basically set up my life as an experiment with truth. How far can you push kindness? I found that the more courageously I extended kindness in those times when I least wanted to do so, the more vibrant I became, the safer I was, and the more peace, the more powerfully I could spread somehow peace throughout my world. And I knew I had to share this message with the world, but I didn't know how until one night I was kind of just walking around, talking to the universe. Some people call it praying. And I walked past this open-air trading bookshelf. It's one of those open-air community libraries where you can leave a book and take a book. And I walked past it, and this book fell off at my feet, and it was the Peace Pilgrim book. And I had been looking for the how. I knew what I had to share, but I didn't know how. And then I read this book, and I started crying because this was it. Because what this woman did was sharing exactly the same message, radical kindness, love to everybody, humility, which is so part of the vegan core. She gave away all of her possessions, everything but I think a toothbrush, a comb, and the clothes on her back, gave away all of her money, and just started walking for peace. It's a wonderful and inspirational book, and she also has a website. I think it's peacepilgrim.org. It's started by several friends of hers after she died. And she did this for 28 years, and I thought, this is it, because if you have a really great idea, even if you aren't interested in self-furtherment at all, I didn't want any money, I didn't want any fame, I could care less. I just wanted people to know this beautiful thing I'd rediscovered that would not only make their lives filled with joy, but it would bring peace to the planet. And so I'm like, okay, I need to share this, but how? The Peace Pilgrim just kept her mouth shut, walked around being kind, living purely on, for lack of a better word, faith. Faith in humanity, just as much as faith in God, and or whatever you would call God. And so I started doing this in 2006, actually 2005, but kind of officially in the very beginning of 2006. And it was amazing because people would come to me and say, excuse me, but number one, how are you not dead yet? Number two, why are you happy and how are you healthy? And something weird is going on with you that you're living this way and so vibrant and at peace and happy. Tell us about it. And I'd be like, all right then, I certainly will. And then the sharing happened. Of course, it was destined to lead to veganism. It just had to. I was an animal lover. I really thought I was. I was still eating dairy and eggs, but I was just completely ignorant as to what that actually caused, the amazing suffering that caused. I had no idea. One, I remember the day. It was in May of 13, and I was sitting at a table eating vegetarian with several German friends here who, of course, are... The vegan movement is getting pretty big in Germany, actually, thankfully, and yet Germany is a very meat-dairy culture. And so they were all asking me questions about my vegetarianism. And the guy sitting next to me was a young fella, and his name is Alex, really, really nice guy. And he says, you know, they use rennet in making cheese. And I was like, what in the world is rennet? And he says, that's this enzyme they take from freshly killed baby cows. And I'm like, no, you're lying to me. I loved my cheese, you know. I was addicted to cheese. Literally, I was literally addicted to cheese. That was it for me. That was the moment. I went home and read about this and researched it and tried to convince myself that goat products were okay and then realized that was out. And within a week and a half, I was vegan. I haven't looked back ever since. And it's been completely consistent with my entire message of kindness and respect and humility and love and the stuff that I believe this world needs a lot more of. So... I'm very, very thankful to this day for that conversation, and I finally woke up to that amazing part of my life.
And I'm thankful that you're a present-day peace pilgrim, because the Peace Pilgrim in the United States started her peace pilgrimage, right, 1953?
53 to 81, 28 years.
Mm-hmm. Good, and that was exciting to hear that 60 years later, you had the awakening with veganism as the continuation of a peace pilgrim, extending kindness to all sentient beings.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to say, Scott, that now when I read and listen to many of the great inspirational leaders in the spiritual or peace movement, and they're not vegan, and they're not talking about veganism, I have to say, not judging, because I understand they're just not there yet, but their message doesn't have the same impact on me, because I realize that it's incomplete. Like you said, it's radical inclusion, radical kindness to everyone. So I really do believe that that is necessary.
It
veganism.
Really is. But I don't call that a judgment either. And I hear a lot of spiritual leaders who make excuses, or scientists, cutting-edge scientists. Recently, Neil deGrasse Tyson was on stage and was asked about veganism diet, what role that should play in stopping global warming. Of course, it should be the number one way to stop global warming.
Absolutely.
Neil deGrasse Tyson diverted that with a joke and said, cows were invented to turn grass into steak. And so what happens is, when you're a man of that kind of influence and you make that kind of statement that excludes sentient life from your wisdom, no matter what the message, it can be science, you can be a spiritual guru, you can be a Christian minister. It doesn't matter. If you are at that place spreading wisdom, and all of a sudden you make excuses for compassion, you know, you dampen your love, you neuter your kindness, you are immediately limiting any real good you can be doing because it's hypocritical and because it's inconsistent. And we humans especially are trained to at least subconsciously feel hypocrisy and reject it. So it's not a judgment, it's just really kind of almost a psychological, sociological fact that if you are preaching kindness, and if you are preaching compassion, and you are preaching love, or relaying it or sharing it, consistency is critical to getting that message across, and to be consistent with those messages, you really have to be vegan. You have to be respectful of all sentient life, not only human sentient life.
Yes, Scott, your insights and your message are on the same plane as that of Dr. Will Tuttle, the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, and also Philip Wallen, the Australian philanthropist and former VP of Citibank.
That's praise that I consider to be a little too high. Very kind of you. And it's an important point. And it's a very important point for everyone listening in, because it's normal for us all to have heroes. And I think Philip Wallen and Paul Watson and Will Tuttle and others, but those three come to mind, are heroes to the vegan movement, heroes to all sentient life on the planet. Every animal on the planet, those are heroes. They are walking the talk, they're blasting peace, and they're powerful messengers of what this world has to become. And it's really important, I believe, for all of us to realize that the real power of the movement, while these amazing beacons of light are important to guide us and to be kind of anchors for our mission and lights that shine a broader swath of brilliance onto humanity, it's each one of us. It's our interactions with those around us, the 10 to 20 to 30 to 50 people we actually interact with every day, each and every one of us. That is where the vegan movement will succeed, is not letting the ego or the meat-eating community convince you that you're only one person, or that you're crazy, or that you're not making a difference, or that they're going to eat even more meat just because you brought it up. It's for us to be resolute and to realize it is as much what I do as what I say, and I'm going to be a gentle, kind, consequent champion for animals and sentient life every single day. And this is where the battle will be won, and is being won right now. That's really important for us all to remember, is that each one of us is really, really, really important. And it's especially important to remember that when we get discouraged, which each of us, I'm sure, has felt. I felt it recently as well.
And I'm happy to hear about your vegan t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, man, I love my vegan t-shirts. I'm actually on my Facebook page. I've collected pictures of the ones that I have so far. I've got a really, really wonderful soulmate friend in Chattanooga who helps me make vegan t-shirts every time I come home. And I have 12, 14 of them, I think. I'm not exactly sure anymore. This started pretty recently because I was handing out pamphlets for a while, but I realized that no matter how wonderful the pamphlet, even if it was in German, I found some cool ones in German, and they're really good, and I was passing them out and talking to people, and there was interest, and yet I found the pamphlets, of course, they easily found their way into the garbage can, and because I was still me, just Scott, you know, the worker here at work, or the guy walking on the street or whatever, it was easy for people to forget, conveniently, that I was vegan and to push that aside and therefore forget themselves that they also had something they needed to deal with in their life, a moral inconsistency, which is every one of them is an animal lover. Every one of them knows it's wrong to torture animals unnecessarily, and every one of them knows deep down that that's what they're doing when they eat meat or dairy products. So they've thrown away the literature, so I said, well, okay, I'm just going to wear this stuff. I'm going to put a slogan on as many shirts as I can get a hold of, and I'm going to make sure some vegan message is being broadcast by me every day of my life, whether I open my mouth or not. And that's been really, really effective. Really, really effective. My favorite one, the first one I made, was the two guys standing in front of the huge mound of dead cows, and the quote says, the Holocaust never ended, it only changed species. And right on the back it says, join the vegan army, only the strong can care. But the front, here in Germany especially, as you can imagine, inspired amazing conversation.
It's time to take a break. We're joined by Scott via Skype in Stuttgart, Germany, and Scott is a peace pilgrim, and he's been sharing information about the importance of veganism within the peace movement. And after the break, he'll be sharing more information about his personal experiences of being a peace pilgrim.
You're in tune to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
Go! Hey, this is Sumi Sumi.
And Mama Bear.
Inviting you to take refuge in
The Safe House,
your sanctuary for all things metal, alternative, screamo, and more.
Every Friday from 11 p.m. till midnight.
Here on WCUW 91.3 FM.
Seek asylum in The Safe House.
What a beautiful world.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm Eileen Narrow. We're joined by Scott via Skype in Stuttgart, Germany. Scott is a peace pilgrim, and he has dedicated his life to selfless service.
Because, of course, the Germans are rightfully still very embarrassed about the Holocaust and feel very ashamed about either their role or their indirectly or directly or their parents' role or their grandparents' role in that great tragedy. And that picture alone awakens them to the fact that they're still participating in it. It's still happening. And I don't have to say anything. I can just walk down the street very slowly and smile at people. They look at the shirt, and right away, they make a connection.
Yeah, I hear you on that. There's a woman in California who runs a World Peace Diet study group, and she lost her 4 grandparents in the Holocaust. Mm. And both her parents were rescued by the Allied forces. And, of course, now she's here, and she makes that connection because she's a strong vegan activist. Also, Gary Yourofsky during his speeches in Israel.
Yes, it makes total sense to me that Israel is right up there percentage-wise with one of the leading nations going vegan. I mean, that makes complete sense, and it's because of this Holocaust connection. And even though Germany is such an incredibly conservative culture as far as animal consumption is concerned, the diet here is really, really heavy on the meat and dairy. I had thought that Germany was going to lag far behind in waking up to veganism and have been astounded at how quickly the vegan movement is gaining steam here. And I think it is also because of the Holocaust. I really do. That people can more readily make the connection here because that kind of just tragic behavior and criminally violent behavior, cruel behavior, is so present in their culture. They refuse to forget it. And so I think they make the connection easier. So that's been really interesting to see, actually.
And I've heard about the large vegan food chain Vegans in Berlin.
I have not gone there yet. I've only been to Berlin once. It was a long time ago. I've heard about that. It's very, very exciting. I know that in my shopping here in Stuttgart, I've seen on an almost weekly basis more and more vegan items showing up in stores, labeled vegan. That, of course, was a beautifully happy surprise for me. I was having to be pretty creative here for a while, about 2 years ago when I first started, but now it's quite easy to eat a very delicious, varied vegan diet in Germany, which shows you how far the movement is getting. It's really wonderful, actually.
What is it like in Stuttgart? Where is that located in Germany, and what is the environment?
Stuttgart is kind of an industrial town, southwestern Germany. It's kind of tucked away in the corner, kind of near to France, kind of near to Switzerland, right on the border of the Black Forest. It's very pretty. Like I said, it's kind of an industrial town. Mercedes is here and Porsche is here, and there are all these vegan options. You have to look a little harder than you do in the States, and the variety of vegan cheeses and vegan meats is not near what I've seen in American stores when I go back to visit. Of course, for me, that doesn't matter because I've found I don't have a taste for meat or dairy anymore, which is bizarre. I guess it's been about a decade since I had any meat, so I don't really crave meat anymore. But I really did crave cheese when I first went vegan. I actually had withdrawal symptoms because I was eating so much cheese and was so addicted to the casein in cheese. It's very, very good that the vegan food industry is becoming creative because it can be difficult for people to switch from a meat and dairy heavy diet to veganism because you have these cravings. And I think it is great that there are now lots of vegan options that duplicate those tastes.
And I'm anxious to hear all about your experiences as a peace pilgrim.
From 2006 all the way through the end of 2011, almost 6 years, I basically was a peace pilgrim, meaning I had almost no personal possessions. I had no money. I refused any money for any services I did for others, and I just kind of lived on faith. When people offered me food, I said thank you and ate, and when they didn't, I didn't, and it was really an incredible time. And I give these presentations that I would give quite a bit back then, kind of explaining in kind of a right-brained way why kindness works. Because that kindness is a good thing, everybody kind of knows, but what we're not taught is the fact that it actually works and why it works. And so that's kind of what I was sharing. it still blows me away just how powerful we can be as people when we literally become one with everyone around us. And all I wanted to do was just do whatever good I could do in that day and just get as far as my legs would carry me. And that's what I did day after day after day after day. And through the incredible beauty of the brave kindness of anywhere from 2 to 10 people on every single day, I survived and thrived and made it. And it wasn't easy for these people. I mean, I'm a very big man. I'm not necessarily Arnold Schwarzenegger muscular big, but I'm 6'6", and I'm kind of a towering guy, and I had bushy hair at the time and didn't shave. I was kind of scruffy, and I only had one set of clothes on, right, and kind of grungy. And yet still, every day, at least twice, on average, probably 3 or 4 times, people would come up to me and they say, "What are you doing? Can I get you something to eat?" It blew my mind because that could not have been an easy thing to do. We're programmed not to do that to strangers. And it was beautiful. It was one of the more powerful experiences of my life. I probably will do something like that again.
Oh, yeah, I saw some of your writings about it on your website. Again, your website is fascinating, and there's so much to read that's all filled with wisdom. Your tools and handbooks, the wisdom anthologies about simplification and unconditional forgiveness, and being kind when it's most difficult and challenging to be kind.
I recently wrote a book kind of briefly and concisely dealing with the top 84 arguments meat eaters use to either downplay veganism or support eating meat and dairy. And I posted that onto Facebook. And I didn't intend to write a book about it at first. I just thought I would write down the top 84 excuses I'd ever heard for not being vegan and write about them and post them on Facebook. And the response was so good and positive that I said, well, this would make kind of a neat book. And the book actually I just finished it a couple of months ago.
Great. I look forward to reading that, too. And I also like your logo with the 9 noble virtues.
Oh, yeah, the 9 noble virtues. And basically what that comes down to is to oversimplify, which is, it's good to keep things simple, basically. It's love. The complicated thing is not the truth, I found. The truth is easy. Be kind. It really is. That sounds so silly. And yet, the more radically you practice that, the more you realize that really is it. The complicated part is getting rid of all the poor knowledge and the incorrect things that we've been taught about kindness and love and animals and diet and justice. And that's what the website, in many different ways, it's designed to help us to unlearn so that then we can remember what it really is all about, this life, this amazing life. And that is, I've got today, that's the only day I'm guaranteed. How much good and peace and joy can I bring into the world today? That's it. That's all that's important. If you happen to choose to be vegan for that day, you've already done an amazingly good deed. Everything else is icing on the vegan cake. And now I wake up and I'm much more at ease because I know that every meal that I take is an active choice not to support animal cruelty, indeed to fight against it. Every time I go to the store and only give my euros, if I was in America, dollars, to foods that do not support animal cruelty, I am supporting justice. I'm having a positive impact.
That is so true. I really do believe that as we sow, so shall we reap. So when we extend that benevolence and kindness, justice and love on our plates, our breakfast, lunch, and dinner plates is filled with love, not violence, not exploitation, not oppression towards other non-human animals, then that boomerangs back to human society and we will achieve the peaceful, beautiful world for everyone.
Maybe that'll happen in 6 months. Probably not. Maybe that'll happen on a global scale in 1,000 years, maybe somewhere in between. And yet all I've got, again, is today. You know, I can do my part today. And what I can do today is, no matter what anybody else tells me to the contrary, what I do today is important. Everyone here at work, and there are like 35 employees at this place, none of them are vegan, one of them is vegetarian. They're all actually very anti-not vegan. They're all very, very pro-meat. And yet every one of them, every single day, see me being kind to them and very, very humbly living a very healthy, very happy life while not causing anybody to suffer.
Yes, that's beautiful. Thank you, Scott. And we're coming to the close of the interview. Are there any final messages that you would like to share?
Be vegan. Be not just vegan, but be a voice for veganism and have the courage to champion veganism if someone asks you.
Yes, that's good. And yep. What contact information can you leave with our listeners?
anybody can email me. It's rediscoveringpeace@gmail.com. The Facebook page is Scott I Am. Scott spelled S-C-A-U-G-H-D as in dog, T as in tiger. And the website is inspiringthealtruisticmoment.com.
Thank you, Scott.
It's been great talking with you, Marlene. Thanks for asking me onto the show.
Scott is a peace pilgrim and spreading the message of kindness, unconditional love, and forgiveness forever.
Amen to that.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's go out with
Onoreste by MC Albino.
And my guest, Scott, via Skype in Germany, is going to give us a translation of that great vegan song.
It really is a great song. The title of the song is Onoreste, but it basically means without right, speaking, of course, to the fact, unfortunately, that our sentient brothers and sisters, animals on the planet, do not have full rights and liberties and freedoms as they should, and as I believe they one day will. And the chorus of the song basically says, planet Earth, the idea that might makes right rules, survival of the fittest, the weaker loses. I've never understood that. How could one understand that crimes happen and people look the other way? Therefore, I give my voice to those who don't have any, those who are without rights in hopeless situations. I want to raise consciousness. It's high time. Every day, animals are in agony because of us. That's the chorus, and then it pretty much ends in a pretty neat way. It says, the last sentence essentially is, that can't be true, so work for the change with me. I want to see real peace on Earth. That's all. The end. Onoreste is, one is without in German, O-H-N-E, and Rechte is rights, R-E-C-H-T-E, Onoreste.
Der maximale Profit und die Industrie macht nur profitables Publik. Realer Traum, manchmal wünsche ich mich, wüsste von nichts, kannst du ertragen. Durch was? Durch die Energie des Lichts, kein leichten Schmaus mehr für mich. Will kein wandelndes Grab sein, a drop of the truth soll stehen auf meinem Grabstein. Das kann ja wohl nicht wahr sein, also schaffe mir die Wende. Ich will wahren Frieden auf Erden. Das war's, Ende. Planet Erde, die Macht ist stärker und regiert. Survival of the fittest, wer Schwaches verliert. Kapiert hab ich das nie, wie soll man's auch verstehen? Das Verbrechen geschehen, die Menschen blendings weitergehen. Drum leih ich meine Stimme mit denen, die keine haben, die ohne Rechte sind, in aussichtslosen Lagen. Bewusstsein will ich schaffen und es wird höchste Zeit. Das größte Leid. Ohne Rechte. First Arm Remix. Dieses Lied widme ich allen geschundenen und gequälten Kreaturen auf dem Planeten. Es geht um grenzenlose Liebe und Respekt. Ich danke allen Tierrechtlern da draußen, an alle Menschen. Hört auf euer Herz und handelt danach. Yeah. Vegan forever. Peace.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.